Podcast, episode 129. It's Marvel, baby! Woo!
Yay!
Yay! Yes. Hey, you know, February 14th. Another 10 years. No? Fuck you guys. I'm the only one who pays any attention to fighting games right here. Because, I mean, there's nothing else going on the 14th. Marvel vs. Capcom 3 comes out. See, that's what I'm worried about.
Maybe Recky would know what you're talking about.
My mate definitely would. It'd be, I think he was the one talking to you about it.
Nothing else on the 14th.
So let's do intros so we know who's here and who ain't. I'm Fuzzwolf.
I'm Shiva.
I'm Botel.
Holy shit. Where'd you come from?
I climbed in your window, and I'm going to snatch your people up.
Oh. Well, I don't got a wife. I don't got no kids. Well, I guess I have
How's your husband?
Yeah.
That only leaves one thing.
Oh, no.
Hi, GF. Hi, GF.
Hi, Joe Foxes. Hi, Joe.
Hi, your cubs. How's your mate?
Anyways. Yeah, it's Open Topic week, and we got Bucktown here, and we're not frozen to death. Because there's no snow.
It's just really, really fucking cold out.
Bitchingly cold.
So it was 18 degrees this morning.
Yeah, kind of hard. Kind of hard to pick cotton, shop cotton in this weather.
It's frozen.
No. 28 degrees, but somehow, I guess, you'll have to deal with it.
Oh.
See, he's the one making the comments, not me.
I'm just going to let him roll with it.
Yeah, you know, he can just say all he wants. He's black, he can do it.
Rule number one, it's not a stereotype if it's true.
Oh.
And rule number two, when I say it, it's racial.
Direct all hate mail it.
Black guy at buckdowntiger.com. Not like your t-shirt, the random black guy t-shirt.
Random black guy.
Did you say a fan made that for you?
Yeah, Jay Tiger Claw actually made it for my birthday last year.
I saw you wearing that at some random con a while back. I was like, holy shit, that's so funny.
Yeah, just walking through the crowd of lily white furries and then boom, a black guy. Right there, Bucktown.
They say all black people look alike, so I just wanted to get out there. I'm random black guy. They're just random black guys.
The more you know. So we should probably get to the show because it's actually really late tonight. We had some technical difficulties getting everything hooked in with the new setup. It's been a while since Bucktown has joined us, so we're gonna just get right to the emails. I'll start and we'll go clockwise. Okay. What?
I read an amusing DM I got on Twitter and it was like, bitches like whoa, and I was like, what is he talking about? Oh, okay, I see.
Bitches like whoa, that's
he's
awesome.
Talking about his computer.
Ah, subject, follow up in a funny little incident. Oh, hi, notcasters. Good news related to my last email with the tiger I was nervous about. We've been going out a little more often together, going to lunch and hanging out at the local Yu-Gi-Oh card shop, and dueling together. I know, Falcon punch me for being so lame. Yeah, I play, you know, Yu-Gi-Oh, it's so 2005.
Punch!
Yes. But 5 days ago, we went out to a Golden Corral, and at the table he brought up he's been having trouble looking for a mate, and I took the opportunity and asked him what he was looking for. Well, we talked about it for a while, and then he popped the question before I was going to... Well, I popped the question before I was going to say anything, saying, you wouldn't happen to be interested in me, would you? When he said this, I turned more red than a tomato, and I stammered. It took a bit of confidence, and I responded with the, yes, I am. We finished dinner, and he drove me to his apartment and headed to his apartment. I'm just reading this verbatim. When we sat down on the couch, he asked me one more time with a smile, are you sure you're interested? I'm not going to say no. I replied with a shy, yes, and turned away blushing. Oh, young love.
That's so cute.
He hugged me and told me it's okay, and he would be nervous too. He understood what it was like discovering his sexuality. We kissed and later snuggled together watching Despicable Me, which is a cute-ass movie, smiley face. After he watched that, he drove me back home, and now we're planning to go to friends to play a bit of Blops next weekend.
Is that a euphemism for sex?
No, it's Call of Duty Black Ops, but it's just blah.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Wow.
I truly appreciate your advice and giving me something to listen to at work while at and at home. Oh, and when I say Texan, I mean I'm from Texas. I would love to go to Furry Fiesta, but a majority of my friends are heading to AC along with the aforementioned Tiger I am now mated to. I'm in Colorado. I know quite a few furs up here, and I may go to Furry Fiesta next year. And now for the funny little incidents. Me and a couple friends were playing Halo Reach today. One of them says Black Ops beats Living Shit out of Reach. The other said, hell nah, fuck yo, cock-a-doody.
What?
After a few minutes of arguing over gameplay and multiplayer ability, the two get into a fist fight. I had to burst in between two and said one thing. You know, most of the Steam games beat them both, right? And then they punched me. No. And then they both stared at me in amazement, then both said I had a point. We then continued to play Reach, and it was funny. Funny to me. And he gives out a Steam ID. Rikusaki the Hermfennec. So, you're a gamer nerd, dude. Thumbs up.
Saverin was the only one who understood that.
Yes! I'm like niche within a niche. Read an email, Fuzz.
I will indeed. Excuse me. Okay. Yay, Notcast! Subject line. Hello, Notcast. I'm glad that there is an open topic this week. Okay, I have three questions, and I'll get right to them, so not to waste your time. Your spieling is horrible. Question number one. I hear so much about the naughty stuff people sell at conventions, but how openly displayed is it to the public? My parents are very open-minded people, and are very interested in furry. I draw it a lot at home, and would probably pay for my trip if they went with me. I would rather not have them seeing that stuff. Question two, I have also heard a lot about cons, but never heard where the actual con is commonly taking place. Is it actually in the hotel? I don't understand. Question three, I have finally given up on finding a new name and gone with my name I picked when I was a wee lad at 10 years of age, and for some reason have used it ever since. Name redacted by request. What do you guys think? I really hope this is read on air and isn't a wall of text. Cross his fingers. The silly Samoid from Seattle. And yeah, I thought your name was cute. So go ahead and keep it. On the questions, how openly displayed is the naughty stuff?
Well.
Okay, go ahead. I was going to say, well, we have it on our table, but everything that's adult is marked adults only. You'll see artists with like an adults only print book. Most of the time when you're flipping through the prints, the naughty parts are covered up with a sticker or something like that. The adult books are generally on the table. So if you flipped through them, there would be censored adult prints in there.
But pretty much anything adult is marked adults only.
Yeah, everything should be pretty clearly marked or otherwise covered up if there's any naughty stuff in open. There's no, like, you're not going to walk in there and see, like, wall-to-wall cock just openly displayed.
Yeah.
Plus, as a dealer behind the table on occasion, I know you can say this, a lot of times they're keeping an eye on the badge. So if you're red badge, they're going to be like, no.
Yeah, he's concerned about his parents seeing it. I would just say don't go to the keep your parents away from the adult art show because you can just walk back there and, you know, then there would
like,
be.
So, like, we should have a parent attending level, like the gray badge. So it's like, oh, you're an adult, you're a parent, you know, I can't show you the adult stuff.
I'm old enough, believe me, your kids do not want you to see this.
Not to be confused with gray muzzle badges.
No.
Yeah.
No, this is the children don't want you to be frightened.
Okay, and the other second of three questions he asked is, where do the cons take place? Is it actually in the hotel? It depends on the con. There are at least three or four outdoor cons that take place in summer camp style areas. However, most conventions are in a hotel that have convention area, that have big meeting rooms and big ballrooms and stuff like that.
I mean, if he's only been to like a Motel 6 or like a Quality Inn, and he hasn't actually seen anything that is attached to like a big convention center, I can see how he could be
hard have problems. To understand that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But some hotels actually have, like Fuzz says, big ballrooms and meeting spaces set aside on like a second floor or so.
Yeah. They've got big ball rooms.
Yes. And they play that song constantly. Yes.
And I already answered the question about his name. I thought it was cute, since I'm the only one that can see it, because I'm not going to read it out loud because you asked me not to.
Science.
Science.
It works. So,
yes. So that's done?
Yes. Let's see. Subject is Love Enough. Dear Not Cast, I was wondering if you could give me some advice on where to go with my current relationship. I've been with this person for 3 years. They are incredibly sweet, they make me laugh, and I love them. But I'm concerned that the lifestyles we want are too different for us to be happy together in the future. For example, I love hiking, camping, and being productive and trying new things, while my partner's ideal world would be watching movies, playing video games, and doing nothing with friends. I'm a fan of healthy and exotic foods, and they preferred fast food with the standard fare. I'm very motivated, enjoy working, and feeling accomplished. However, my partner has asked in the past whether they would be able to stay at home if I ever make enough to support us both. They also have problems with jealousy and trust, especially when I go out with friends. I understand that people are different, and there will always be personality clashes and pet peeves about one or another, but I'm worried about our differences are more than this, and might have some fundamental things we want out of life. I find myself spending hours or sometimes full days at their side doing nothing of what I want or need to do, simply because if I leave, I'm accused of choosing my work, etc., over them. Again, I realize sacrifices and time must be made for the relationship, and I'm happy to do so, but I feel I might be spending too much of my time wasting my life away, and I need some time to myself for the things I want to do every now and again. I can't help but wonder if there's someone out there who is ambitious, adventurous, fun-loving, and open-minded just waiting for me. But then I think I'm being silly because I have a loving partner with me already. Anyways, after 3 years of being together, there comes a point where one has to decide whether or not to try and make a life with this person. Should I call it off because we aren't looking for the same things in the future? Or should I stay committed because I found someone who I love that loves me back? Thanks for all your help. Your show has always been entertaining and inspirational. Sincerely, Anonymous.
Mm.
Yeah, that's
tricky.
I was kind of with him with the differences up to a point. Like the whole difference in lifestyle. Like one likes camping. One likes Julia Roberts movies. One likes to have sex with your sister. You know, like the song says. You know, that's fine. But then when he was like, I want to work and be accomplished, and he wants to stay home and be supported, that's not a problem if both partners are on board with that idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he sounds like he has a problem with that. So that's not really going to work.
But it also sounds like the writer is very outgoing, very, you know, he has his own life, his own interests, and he's very happy with it. And it sounds like his partner has a very different things that they enjoy. And it would be cool if they were cool, if they were okay with having their separate interests and then coming back together. But it sounds like the partner may be a little bit clingy and have a problem with having these divergent interests. You know, he wants him there, but he wants him there doing things that the writer doesn't really want to be doing.
Yeah, that doesn't really spell long-term success if what you're... Because, I mean, yeah, it's okay for a little while, but eventually you're going to come to resent that.
Mm-hmm.
And resentment doesn't do good things to relationships.
Never want to be with anyone that you think is holding you back. Want to be someone that's supportive. And that you're supportive of.
Yeah,
both of you have goals, and it sounds like the person you're writing about doesn't really have goals.
Yeah, you know, it's one thing to be like in between a job and trying to get something, or finishing school and then planning on getting a job. It's nothing entirely to sit at home and play video games all day.
And that's what your end goal is going to be.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
my mate Siam for a while has jokingly said, you know, if you ever make a good wage, I'd love to be a house husband then. Well, he's been out of work for the last 6 months, and he's really itching to get back to work. He's discovered that being a house husband is not nearly as much fun as he thought it was going to be.
Well, like for me, I've been finishing up school, like just hardcore, full-time, doing the house fox thing, and I go a little nuts sometimes. Because, you know, there's only so much work to be done. And, like, right now with my car being dead, yeah, you know, that's going to get fixed soon. But, yeah, you go a little crazy. Mm. And, like, my friend Tesser, they shifted his shift because normally he'd be home in the early afternoon. I'd be like, hey, let's hang out. Let's do something. He's working evening shifts now. I don't see him. And everyone else works late. So I'm just like, I'm stuck here by myself.
Yeah. I mean, I'm work all day. Tieran's at work all day. So most of your close friends aren't really available to hang out.
Yeah.
Most of the day.
I know.
Like, in my case,
I finish up my math, get a real job, and suddenly, you know, I'm a effective member of society again.
See, I'd be cool with if Tieran made enough money for this to happen that I could work for Planet full time, you know, so I'd stay at home, maintain the home, put a full time effort towards my business,
yeah,
as opposed to doing it when I can around my day job, you know. So I would still be doing something, especially if I could grow the business to the point, you know, where we're really making money, then I could basically be supplementing the income anyway.
But not home just playing
video games. But I wouldn't be home just sitting on my ass, you know. Even
you're not going to watch, you know, the Doctor Who from, you know, episode one, season one to now in order.
Yeah, that wouldn't take me for the rest of my life, though, unless I die in the next year.
Yeah, I'm in a different situation. I'm trying to convince Alanis to stay home, and she refuses. She has to work. She has a spirit about her where she wants to work and contribute and do something. And I'm like, you don't have to. You can stay home. And she's like, no.
Honestly, I've been in her situation. When I lived in Australia, I had a hard time finding a job, and I would make periodic trips back to the U.S.
They don't trust Yanks.
And it was, I felt like a leech. I felt like, even though I did stuff around the house, it was, in some points, it was embarrassing because I felt guilty spending money because I didn't do anything to put any in the account. I mean, when you're half of the relationship and you don't at least have somewhat of a paycheck to contribute, it's hard to give up. Like I said, I felt super guilty about spending anything on myself when I didn't put anything in. It just felt like I was using him and abusing him. So I can understand where the lioness is coming from because it did drive me nuts and it made me felt that tall.
Yeah, I guess not just that. You don't want to become totally codependent on another person because, you know, like in the movie, what's the name? It's by Tyler Perry, the first one. I can't remember the name of it. But anyway, in that movie, she became codependent and he left. And
then where is she at?
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think it boils down to the fact that, yeah, you like this guy, but even if you want to make it work without a realignment of your particular goals, I don't see it lasting forever.
Yeah. I read of a mad black woman, and I didn't say it because it was kind of racial.
But I mean,
that's just my opinion.
You see, I don't think, like, you know, you want to go camping, great, find some friends that want to go camping and shit like that, and he won't come with you. Like, you can overcome some differences, like,
but he has to be happy to let you go camping.
Tieran has an occasional outdoor streak, and a couple years ago he went off to, like, the Grand Canyon and all that area for 2 weeks with his college friends and stuff like that. And I didn't have the time off, and I might have had the interest, but, you know, let's say I did. And I was like, okay, that's cool. But then I'll do other shit by myself, you know. And I really like a lot of movies and stuff like that, and he's not really into that and stuff like that. But then we have other shit that we do have in common, and we enjoy together.
Yeah.
But, you know, so you can have those differences, like WoW. You know, he plays WoW with you, Shiva, Tesser, and I think I don't know if Rekki and Sarah are on Tell Server 2 or whatever.
We all have,
and I'm totally not into that. But then I'll be in the room watching 40-year-old episodes of Doctor Who, which he can't deal with the classic series at all. So having some differences with your partner is fine. You still need to maintain your own life to a point, anyway. But when it comes down to, you know, here's what I want my long-term future to be, and it's like, one has a job and one wants to do fuck all, and the one that has a job has a problem with that,
that's something y'all really need to talk about. And if you can't get work that out, that's going to be a big issue long term.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And in our community, we would say, he's pimping you, bro.
So I think we've
beaten that one to death. Well.
Yeah.
But, so I guess my email.
Alrighty.
Let's see. What the heck was that? Oh, I changed it to drum. No wonder.
I was like, wow, like, that must be a bad email. You got the drum out of it. It's your podcast. I have 6 months to live.
Dun, dun. That's better.
Okay.
We actually have piano now.
We're back on piano mode now.
Hello, casters of the knot. First off, I'd like to tell you that I've changed my name from Seiji to Same. Purely because too many people are messing it up. And how can you screw up Same? It's near impossible. Anyway, time for my wall of text. How do I explain furry and fursuiting to my mother? I know it's a random question, but my mate was a fursuiter and a borderline lifestyler. And even when he's around my mom, he can't help but talk about all things furry and his furry friends and his fursuit, etc. Now, this wouldn't be a problem if my mom wasn't so nosy. She has approached me many times and asked me about the random can I say shit?
Yes.
Random shit your weird boyfriend is talking about.
Earlier.
Yeah, go wait. Random shit your weird boyfriend is talking about. Thankfully, I'm very good at weaseling my way out of a conversation like that, but I can't do it forever. Second, while I love my mate dearly, there's a thing as being too furry, and he's just about there. How do I get him to be less of a fur fag, but not ask him to change who he is? I know it's an oxymoron, but I don't want to outright say, stop being so damn furry. I would just appreciate it if he would tone it down a little bit. Just to recap for the slow people, I'd like to know how to explain furry to my mother without freaking her out, and I would like to know how to get my mate to be less furry. Thank you for your advice you have for me, and keep up the good work. Oh, and Reki gets my vote for sexiest voice. From the kitten in the fish-shaped litter box of the coast of New York, same O, and yes, his name's actually Sam.
Oh, man. So, I'm sorry, but your boyfriend is a fur fag. He'll have to amputate. No.
You have chibi eyes. You have 6 months to live.
So, how would you stop someone from being a lifestyler around your mom? Or just in general.
Ask him to stop being a lifestyle around your mom. Freaking her out.
Does he have a job? If he has a job, invite your boss over when he's being a lifestyler and let him see what really happens. Or maybe his boss already knows, in which case, invite your boss's his boss's boss or his boss's boss's boss.
Invite his mom over.
No. So, I mean, there is a question of, like, what is a lifestyler in this situation? He's saying he's always talking about, like, fursuiting and furry this and art and stuff. And I can totally see that there's a time and a place for everything. And
that time?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's when you pull out the hammer and start beating him.
Don't taste me, bro.
You know,
who the furries be? Don't shave me, bro.
The thing is that there's these flavor nerds for every fandom out there. Whether your boyfriend goes on about his Yu-Gi-Oh cards,
that is true. Showing your power level. You know, show your anime, your anime nerdiness.
Where you're at the end of dinner.
Yeah.
Honest to God, right? Back when I lived in Tarrant County, lived at home, there was this dude. He was the complete stereotype, acne-riddled, fat anime nerd. And he wore his Naruto headband
everywhere.
Everywhere. Wow. On campus, everywhere.
I don't even.
And, you know, that'd be the same as, like, some furry wearing a collar with a bell in their tail. You know, think about how awkward and stupid that guy looks to the general public. And that's probably how he looks to anyone else. I mean, that's just my opinion, because, I mean, I am a pretty private fur fag. If I go, am I at a con, I'd be fur fagify.
So we pretty much said, oh my god, your boyfriend's a fuck up. What does he do to fix it?
What does he do? You tell him, like, straight to his face that it's not acceptable. You have to set boundaries. You have to tell him that this is not okay.
Not around my mom.
Don't talk to my mom about that awesome new bonk piece you saw. About just how many cocks they stuffed in that fox.
You know? He played this for him.
Dude, soundboard. Stop it.
Yeah. I'm putting it down now. I have had my fun with the soundboard for the week.
I mean, what do you think? You know, yes, we've nailed down the fact.
I think Diet Coke's delicious.
So you won't be seen in public with him with furry stuff unless it's like at a furry event with furries. If you're just out at a restaurant, you know, it's not necessarily... I mean, if you have it inside you, you shouldn't have to feel the need to display it to everyone else. I think that the fact that he feels the need to be visibly furry everywhere shows a self-doubt in him that he's not really confident himself. And he has to try to prove it to himself by seeing how far he can go and how, you know, where he can wear his tail and collar and ears and, you know, scantily clad clothing or whatever.
Wearing his Michelle Light shirt with the vixen with the whip on the front.
Yeah. Some people, I think, they feel really repressed, so they act out as much as possible to kind of, like, stake who they are. Basically, you see this a lot with...
Coming out
with the gays where they're really, really rainbows. Flamboyant. And it's like an explosion of rainbow because they're making up for the fact that they live in a very oppressive society. So he may feel very unconfident about who he is. And so he's really pushing the furry thing balls to the wall. I would sit down and have a come to Jesus meeting with him. Did it say, Buckdown, did it say an email if he's actually talked to him about this problem at all? I don't recall.
I don't think he has, actually. He's just dismayed about it.
So that's step one right there, man, is you gotta sit down and say, dude, you're freaking... First of all, start simple. You're freaking my mom out.
You need to rein it in a little.
Don't talk about the furry stuff in front of my mom, you know? And just kind of tell him you need to rein this in a little bit. And you know, I almost hesitate to say it, but if that don't take, it's kind of bad to do, but shame him. You know, I don't know if there's another way to handle that.
You're walking at a mall together and he's wearing his collar and tail. You just step 3 feet away and be like, furry.
Point at him. Not quite. But
not quite.
You know, I don't know, but you know, just let him know. You know, if asking him to dial it back a notch doesn't help, just let him know that, dude, you're that guy, that creepy guy that pushes it one step too far, and you really need to cut it out.
And but, don't be that guy.
Yeah, but I mean, that's all I can say to do. I could totally understand you being uncomfortable about that, though. So, anyone else got any opinions to throw?
No, that's pretty much it.
Okay, so I guess Saverin, it's your turn to read that.
Yep.
All right.
All right. Subject: Marvel Baby. Well, happy Death by Cherubs Day to you all. I hope all is going well. Don't forget Steak and a BJ Day is coming too.
Wait, what?
Steak and a BJ.
Steak and a blowjob.
March 14th.
Well, I know what steak and a BJ is. I hadn't heard of... Why is it March 14th?
March 14th, because February 14th, men give the women what they want, flowers and candy. And March 14th, women give the men what we want.
Steak and a BJ. Okay, yes. Got right.
it. See, I'm glad Bucktown's here to give us cultural information. Oh, shit.
I'm sorry. I was just trying to climb back out the window. That didn't work too well. Okay.
It's okay. Everything's fine. I was wondering what the cast thinks about the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Here in the snowy, snowy north, we've allowed our troops to serve openly for roughly, 17 years now. And our military bases have held marriage ceremonies, too. So I was just curious as to what y'all figure the outcome of the repeal may be. Is your country mature enough to support its gay veterans as well? Alas, TTFN, until you next have the divine pleasure of reading my words, wishing you all the best, Jeffrey Wolf, Naval Officer Cadet, Medical Staff, Canadian Forces.
I'm all for it. I am happy that it's coming about, or it will be.
Oh, I'm all for it as well. I mean, considering the gays have been serving, you know, forever. In the closet forever, anyways, yeah. You know, it's... You know, all the other countries that our military serves next to...
It's going to take some restructuring and some attitude adjustment.
Mm.
You know, and everything else that goes with it, but...
It's nice to know we're only 17 fucking years behind Canada.
Is that all?
Hey, you know, maybe in, you know...
How long have they had, you know...
They've had gay marriage for, let's see, like 5 or 6 years now?
Yeah.
So maybe in 11 years we might catch up with Canada, hopefully?
Well, I always use Britain. Britain outlawed slavery in 1823. It took us, you know, millions of deaths and 4 years of civil war and 42 more years to outlaw slavery here, so...
Yeah.
So we're 40 years behind Britain.
4 years. Britain got gay marriage when?
Well, they have civil unions, but they've had them since the late 90s.
So add 40 years to that. That's when we'll get it.
Okay. Yeah, actually, there was a I saw that. It's like a list of countries that outlawed slavery. It started with the first one and went to the very last one. Who's the last one?
Brazil, actually. They outlawed it in, I think, 1881.
Oh, well, all of them,
the U.S. was close to the...
Yeah, it was like
1860. 1864 or
1865, 13th Amendment. I'm black, I know this.
Okay.
Of course. That was one of those... Oh, God.
Well, isn't it that month?
Well, like Stephen Colbert said, February is Black History Month, and that's all I know about Black History.
Yeah.
He tweeted that.
Yes.
Wow.
Like I said, it's that
moment. So what we're saying is America is a little behind the curve in a lot of ways.
So what we're saying is America is retarded in a lot of ways.
Well, yes.
As our current political climate.
America, fuck yeah!
Will America deal with it? Yeah. They'll get to.
Eventually.
America is one of those countries where it has to be dragged kicking and screaming into the future.
Yeah.
You know... There's going to be dumb fucks. You know, this last generation, the old white men, they're dying off. Ain't dying off soon enough and fast enough, but they're dying off. And let the next generation take over so they can quit screwing up.
There are parts of this country I feel haven't even been dragged into the 20th century yet, let alone the 21st.
Mm. So
Texas being one of them in a lot of ways. We have the technology, and we use it for oppressing people.
Well, all the tech jobs are here, are like in Dallas and Austin, and then everything else is all fuck all. So,
yeah. Well, I mean, that's true of a lot of states. You know, you have your 4 or 5 major cities and a whole lot of scary town in between.
Yeah. Not to be all like, oh, America, fuck no. So we get, you know, hate mail. Why don't you move to Canada then? It's like, well, then I could have health care and get married.
Because,
you know. But we'd have to put up with the winter.
That attitude drives me nuts. If you don't like it, leave. It's like, no.
Do you just give up and walk away whenever you don't agree with something? You're a coward.
No, you change it. It's if you're complacent, then you put up with it. If you walk away, you're a coward. It's like, fuck no, I'm going to sit and change it.
It's like, if you don't like what's on the TV, do you just push your TV out the window, or do you just change the channel?
I don't like what's on the channel right now. I'm going to become Amish.
So. You don't want to throw out the TV with the bathwater.
You don't want to commit suicide with the TV in the bathwater. Make stew.
America, fuck no.
Smart ideas going awry.
So, yes, Don't Ask, Don't Tell repeal is a good thing. And America just gets to put on its sunglasses and deal with it.
What's the origin of that meme, by the way? I've seen a lot of furries have that as their avatar. Oh,
yeah.
Deal with it?
No, that's... No, the deal with it's a separate thing.
How about the America...
No, to put on the sunglasses.
No, oh. Just like the characters wearing sunglasses and just says deal with it.
Oh, deal with it. I don't know that one. I know the aviator one, but...
Yeah, what...
That one.
What is...
Yeah, it's just... It's a dog with a smug grin, sunglasses, you know, go down. It says deal with it.
So that's the original?
Probably.
No, your meme.com. Brilliant.
Yep.
It's a good thing Saffron's always prepared. He's like our meme-lopedia. I don't know. He knows stuff about...
He has access to the internet.
Yeah, there's...
Well, so did I just wouldn't know where to look.
Shit.
What the fuck? Okay, we need to stop.
Okay,
we're doing like a visual joke on an audio medium.
So it's knowyourmeme.com/memes/deal-with-it. Okay. And it's this picture of Mubarak, you know, president of Egypt, trying to put on the glasses, and then a rain of sunglasses fall into the people instead. It's like, deal with it.
Oh my god.
So very,
Wow, this episode is topical. So, Fuzz, why don't you read an email?
Yes, Fuzz, please.
Okay. Actually, should I read another? Because I gave myself a thing I need to read and then an email. Do we want to go to break after this one?
Yep.
Okay, all right. So I'm going to...
Bucktown.
So I have an announcement from another Buck, but not Bucktown, Buck Turner. So...
A buck.
We're about to... Bad Dog Books is publishing the Roar series, and Roar Volume 3 is about to come out. It's actually going to be debuting at our very own Furry Fiesta.
Yay!
And we're going to be putting up pre-orders for it on Fur Planet here probably this weekend. So, got a little synopsis of it here. I'm going to read that, and then I have info. So first, for all you readers out there, here's what Roar 3 is about. An hour, an eye blink, a single night. In a world where time flows steadily on, individual moments crystallize into the memories that define us, that we use to measure ourselves. At certain times, our actions can change the course of an evening or the rest of our lives. In Roar Volume 3, 10 authors explore the power a single moment can have in a life. We've got stories from names you'll know like Kevin Frayne, Renee Carter Hall, and Ben Goodrich, as well as several newer writers with smaller resumes but great talent. Give them a moment to grab you and they won't let go. So it's 10 stories. The theme of the whole anthology is moments. So that'll be coming out shortly. That'll be 1995. Now, another quick announcement. This one is for all you writers out there. The call for submissions to Roar Volume 4 is now being put out. So I have the theme here for Roar Volume 4 and the information to submit to that. And we're going to put Buck's email in the show notes if you can do that, Savern. Okay, so let's see. Roar is once again open for submissions for our fourth volume. For our next release, we are looking for stories that address celebrity. While the pop star surrounded in paparazzi may be the image of celebrity splashed over the media, I encourage submitters to look deeper at the idea of fame. This is a topic with no shortage of ink already spilled in its name. What I am looking for are stories that show a fresh furry perspective on celebrity, shining light on it from different perspectives. There are many ways to be famous or infamous. Explorations of alternate types and levels of celebrity are encouraged. Creativity and uniqueness in your story will be a definite plus. Please remember that Roar is a general audience publication highlighting anthropomorphic characters. Desired story length is 5,000 to 10,000 words, but submissions outside those lengths may be considered. The submission deadline is July 31st. Submissions as well as questions can be addressed directly to Buck C. Turner at baddogbooks.com. So, that is information from Buck about Roar 3, which will be available soon, and Roar 4, which is now open for submissions along that theme.
That's cool. And Oh, I was like,
what the fuck? What is it, Rain?
The Bad Dog Book Club podcast.
I was going to mention that,
just
too.
Started.
Excellent.
They're doing a, what is it, story podcast, or?
It's a story and like a story review podcast. So first of all, the URL is baddogbooks.com/bookclub. And there'll be an episode that is an audio reading of a short story. The first one is Sanguine and Clockwork by Cam Harasaki. It's read by Alex Vance. So this was a story that appeared in Volume 3 of Fang, which is a gay erotica with a fantasy setting. So basically, you download the one episode where Alex reads the audiobook, or you can read the story on their website. And then the next download will be the first episode of the podcast, where the two hosts, Skip and Toonses, talk about the story. And basically, it's more than just like, I guess the idea is that you post a story online and you get, I came, I wish I was that fox, or
Omar.
Or maybe you leave a proper comment, but it's a lot of people that are just leaving a comment, leave a comment, leave a comment, but there's no dialogue happening between people actually discussing the story, putting forth their different views, and actually talking it out. So that's what this podcast is that, and they welcome submissions and emails from the readers, feedback from them, and they're going to just basically like dissect and have a detailed discussion of one story per episode.
That sounds pretty cool.
So it's more for, it was said like, they kind of said it was like Unsheathed is like the writer's podcast. This is one they're trying to push towards the readers in the fandom.
It sounds like also the critics, too. Or at least not the critics, but the discussion
groups. You know, I encourage you, go forth, check it out. Make their bandwidth cry.
Oh. Right.
Yes. So, on that note, we're going to go to break. What is this week's song, Bucktown?
So, in honor of Black History Month, I decided to write a song about, well, not just my favorite meal, but the favorite meal of blacks. Well, I'm not going to say all blacks, because then it would be a stereotype. But, basically, it's a meal about, a song about a meal that I like a lot, which happens to be chicken and French fries, which it just fits the stereo. I mean, Black History Month.
Remember, this is not recorded in stereo. It's in mono, so we can't have a stereotype. It has to be a monotype.
A monotype. Right. So I can only have either chicken or fries.
Yes, you have to pick between your fried foods.
Oh my goodness! Well, it doesn't have to be fried chicken, but or fried fries. You can like go to Kroger, buy some fries, and then stick them in the oven. Actually, a little healthier, but
hide your chicken, hide your fries.
Wow. Baked chicken, baked fries, but still chicken and fries. That's the important part.
There we go.
So, debut song. I haven't released this one to the wild just yet. Working on a video. Hopefully, it'll be done this weekend. But yeah, you all are the first audience to get to hear this one. So
there you go. Enjoy.
Hey.
Man, I'm hungry.
I want some chicken and fries. Chicken and fries. Yeah. I'ma get some chicken and fries. Chicken and fries, yeah.
Chicken.
I got black on my mind. It's up for lunchtime, and I want me some chicken and fries. Chicken and fries, yeah.
Chicken.
It's the first of the month, and I want something to munch. Ain't nothing like some chicken and fries. So 40 ounce trees, cause I just want some chicken and fries.
Chicken.
Chicken and fries.
Chicken.
Yeah, yeah.
Chicken and fries.
Chicken.
Chicken
and fries. Yeah.
Chicken.
I want some chicken and fries.
Chicken.
Chicken and fries.
Chicken.
Chicken and fries.
Chicken.
Chicken and fries. my butt. I look like I got a baby in my muffin top gut. I got injured in the bar fight, I had a bad cut. But instead of tiger blood, frying oil bubbled up.
Damn.
I once was anorexic, a scrawny little guy. Now I'm almost diabetic and my blood pressure's high. And soon if I don't change, I may fall over and die. But right before I do, my last meal will be some chicken and fries. Collard green greens, macaroni and cheese. I'ma eat it with my chicken and fries. With purple drink on the side, yeah. Shack is the best, along with chicken express on 9:30 towards Texas. McDonald's chicken nuggets, or even BK, or some Walmart and Sam's Club, just not Chick-fil-A.
No.
They fight my views, but still want me for my cash. If someone gives me Chick-fil-A, I throw it in the trash. Some people think religion justifies being a bigot. As a Christian, I'm offended. I think that stuff's ignorant. The only times I want is on the days when they were closed. I guess I'll have to go another place to find some chicken and fries.
Chicken. Chicken.
Man, that was good. I think I
want seconds. Chicken. Chicken. And fries.
And we're back. You can make this Valentine's Day the one that you'll both never forget with this amazing offer from AdamandEve.com. Only a few days left. Through Valentine's Day, you'll get 50% off just about any item. Just go to AdamandEve.com and you'll find over 18,000 adult entertainment products, including toys, lingerie, and a seemingly endless array of adult DVDs.
Seemingly endless, but it does actually end at a point.
Yes. There is only so many porn DVDs in the world. And there's more. With every order, you'll receive our romance kit free. Our romance kits includes a toy for him, a massager for her, and a little something we know you'll both enjoy. Yeah, you know, it says it's for her, but we know our audience. It's going to be for him and for him. It's all good. Plus a free adult DVD, just to put you in the mood, if you like vagina. And that's not all. Oh, no. We'll also throw in free shipping on your entire order. So check out AdamandEve.com today for this special Valentine's offer, good through the 14th only. So, Marvel Day. Get 50% off one item, free romance kit, and free shipping when you enter the offer code NOT. That's K-N-O-T. That's not at AdamandEve.com. Onward to you, Shiva.
Subject. Well, I'm flattered, but... dot, dot, dot.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dot, dot, dot.
Dear NOTcast.
A dramatic reading.
I've recently picked up your show again, and I'm happy to find that Recky has returned with a more sober bearing and a healthy wow habit. I'm good to hear he's doing well. Problem. Last week at school, I was asked out by a girl, and she's a catch. She's very beautiful, sweet, and loved by all. And though I've never been in any kind of relationship, I'm sure her proposition was genuine. We're already friends, and we're engaged in a few musical projects right now. The problem is, of course, I like dudes. Now, I couldn't very well say no, as there were several friends around when she asked, all of whom she certainly understood that no straight man in his right mind would ever turn her down. I wasn't quite ready to explain my penchant for cock right there or anywhere, so I smiled and accepted. Now, where should I go from here? Should I call her and explain the situation and ask her to keep her to herself? Should I take her on the date and confess my faggotry over tea and chocolate? Thanks for your help, Anonymous.
Think of a clitoris as a very small penis.
Very, very small.
Do we have real advice from anybody?
I would honestly go on the date with her and go out, hang out, you know, maybe pick up the bill or something and try to be.
Yeah, be the gracious date.
Be the gracious date, and then it's like, look, you're an awesome person, and I love doing this as a friend, but I like the dudes.
It's like, sorry, you don't have a penis.
Yeah. You know, that sounds nice. I was actually thinking along that lines. Go on a date, kind of, ask her to keep her on the down low if you're trying to keep it on the down low, and, just explain things to her, like, yeah, sorry, but, you know, we could totally, like, you can be my fag hag, and we can go look at guys together. And I don't know.
She can be his beard.
She might be cool with that. Who knows?
Yeah.
So, yeah, but definitely I would go and, you know, let her down, be gracious, just try to be a nice guy.
Don't be like, oh, hell no, I like dicks.
Yeah, that would just make you sound like a dick.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Don't do that, kids. Don't do drugs, kids.
So, yeah, that was short, sweet, to the point, on to Bucktown.
Yay.
Yay.
What song should I back on this one? Hi, Yins Notcasters. This is your resident Lunar Kitten, Liz Abbey. I don't know the song Black and Yellow, but Yins lets me know that this writer's from the Western Pennsylvania area. It seems like karma hates me this semester because my circadian rhythms have all been fucked up because to get back to Baltimore, I had to take a train at 5 a.m. Not fun. Wait, they say yens in Baltimore too? Wow, okay, that's a new one. Anyways, I had a quick question for any of you. Is it wrong of me to tell a white lie to my... Why does it gotta be a white lie? Hold up.
Because a black one is usually bad.
Oh, I see how this goes.
Oh no.
Wow. Is it wrong? And she was broken.
Poor Shira.
She broke herself even.
No, especially watching Bucktown.
You're redder than my mic.
That's not hard to do.
Is it wrong of me to tell a white lie to my girlfriend of 3 years? I've been denying me to being a fur to her for all three, and it's been worrying me that I've been doing something wrong. I have to hide it because she's on that slate of things where she thinks the majority of furs involve art and sexual pleasure, which has happened before. We're just a little curious about the entire situation. I hope this gets onto the show. Also, thanks for turning me on to Unfurled. Liz Abbey.
So, she's been lying about being a fur, but your girlfriend has been asking? I guess, so it's between glossing it over and not mentioning an outright denial? That's what it sounds like?
Pretty much.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
I mean, you've been together 3 years. I mean, at this point, unless she's going to be all like, yiff in hell...
It's time to fess up.
It's time to be honest, really.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I mean, does it inform your bedroom behavior? Do you, like, roar, I'm a lion?
I wondered why you howl when you come. Here's the thing. It's like, we're going to take some Dan Savage advice on
like
this.
Like a wolf?
Jeez. basically, you know, the way Dan Savage had advised people is like when you have a kink or something like that, don't tell your partner as if you're confessing that you have 6 months to live. Like it's this fucking big bad secret. You know, don't all be like, I have to tell you something. I'm a furry. You know, just treat it like any other thing and don't dump the. Don't dump the whole thing on her all at once. You know, don't show up in your fursuit and be like, this is my deep, dark secret. You know, you need to just kind of lay it out, like, treat it casual.
It becomes a big deal if you make it a big deal.
Exactly. If you're freaking out, they're going to freak out. If you feel like you're guilty when you're telling them, they're going to think you got something to be guilty about.
Oh, you're a furry and I act all guilty. What else are they doing?
And the same problem with my line is I took her to her first fur meet. I was trying to prepare her. I spent 3 weeks preparing her for, you're going to see this. I don't want you to be weirded out. And this may happen. And we need to take separate cars. That way you can leave if you feel uncomfortable. She had a great time.
See, there you go. And that's actually a great real life example of dealing with the issue that our emailer has. So, and it all worked out. So. Has she been to a con yet?
She came to Furry Fiesta a couple years ago, the first Furry Fiesta.
Didn't she get randomly selected to be a guest of honor at some con?
Rocket City.
Yeah.
She got random drop.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Guest of Honor. Which was the week after I was guest of honor at Morphicon, so she totally upstaged the hell out of me.
I played a fail thing again, babe. Sarah's gonna kill me if I keep pulling out the soundboard.
Plus, 3 years down the line is really time to stop lying about things because, 6 months out, gloss it over. 1 year, you really have to start thinking about fasting out. 3 years is way too long to drag any of this shit out.
This isn't your day job, I mean, I could deal with telling people at work, I'm going to Sci-Fi Con, I'm going to Comic Con, whatever like that. They don't really need to know. They don't know me. But the person you're in a relationship with, and, if you want to run out to a con, you want to run out to fur meets, man, they're going to think you're cheating on it after a while if you keep kind of spinning it like that. So, I think it's time to just sort of fess up and, and just don't treat it like a big thing. Just kind of go with it.
So, yeah.
And Carrie Underwood fans here are listening, but
any word from you on that, Severn?
No, we covered it pretty well.
All right, sounds good. So, I guess that's your turn, right?
He just read, right?
He read. Okay, I lost track there.
Final round.
I do have one left.
I think
I have one.
I got one.
Oh. He has one.
Okay, so the final round.
Art. Subject: revisiting B-Draw. So now we can figure out what B-Draw is. Yay. Good evening, Notcasters. I was just going to let this go after it got glossed over in my epic wall of text. But since it was revisited last episode, I figure I'd send this again so other listeners aren't left scratching their heads.
It was kind of funny. I was like, what the fuck is he talking about? Sorry.
There's that super, super long one I read about the guy who went to the con and discovered himself coming out more confident after, and it didn't fade. He kind of mentioned B-Draw at the end, then I kind of just kind of passed by it.
Oh, is that where it came from? So it's mentioned from... Okay, all right. Okay. So, Savrin, please explain.
The program I've been trying to help promote is called B-Draw. It's an open-source sketching and painting program similar to OpenCanvas 1.1, complete with multi-user networking. Woo-hoo. Anyone who enjoys doodling in OC with their friends is going to want to keep track of this program.
Okay, now he's got my interest more. I love the original OC.
Yeah, OC is fun, and some of the stuff
But OC Remix is... Oh, wait, that's a different thing entirely.
OC Remix is awesome, too. They put out a new album recently. At the moment, B-Draw is in pre-alpha. The most recent version can be found at sourceforge.net/project/B-Draw. B-E-E-D-R-A-W. No Linux or Mac installer yet, guys. Sorry. This program is still being developed by a furry named Skitzycat. You can find him on FA with that name, Skitzycat, or email him at skitzycat@yahoo.com. Skitzy is in serious need to help pushing this program forward, artists to test the program for bugs and suggest features, webmasters to help manage the site, random furs to spread the program around, and probably a bunch of other stuff that I can't even remember right now. Thanks for taking the time to read this out. I'm looking forward to hearing the new episode. Foglove the Otter.
Yay.
Okay, cool.
Is it supposed to be Foglove or is it like Foxglove?
He probably meant it to be Foxglove, but it's totally... It's Foglove.
Foglove.
Which means he's a fake glove. Not real leather, hence animal friendly.
There you go.
I've just deconstructed his name and I don't think that's what he intended. Anyway, I'm going to go on to this email now. Wow dates and naughty codes and coming out to family. Okay, that should cover a lot of ground. Sup, Notcasters. Long-time listener, not first-time writer. Hopefully first time my email is read on the show. Congratulations!
Yay!
Yay, applause. Since this is an open topic week, I have a few different things to talk about. First, even though my mate and I are separated for the first time farther away than a half hour, I now live 2 hours away across the state for college, we've been able to keep in contact well by talking on Skype every day, watching the same movie at the same time on Hulu while we video chat, and having World of Warcraft dates together. I know, we're nerds. But it's much more fun to play with her than on my own. Having a long-distance relationship is working better than I had planned. Any advice on how to make it better? And any advice before I read on to the next question?
How to make a long-distance relationship is going okay. They found ways to bridge it. Is there any other tips for making it a little bit better?
So they talk a lot.
Play WoW.
Did you just not hear me read this email?
Well, no, I'm just like, they're doing everything right to me.
Except try to set an end date, and I would try to at least... okay, not an end date for, okay, we're going to be together forever now, but try to pick a time sometime in the next couple weeks, months, whatever, to have a, you know, a couple days together or something. Try to give yourself some goal for... This is what we'll do until...
We're going to spend this holiday together. Or we're going to set up time to have, like, a long weekend together.
Or go to a con, or...
Know, no matter how romantic Duo and Karazhan is, it just doesn't, you know... it's not as nice as face-to-face.
Yes. So, okay. Give yourself something to look forward to. It'll help.
Okay, cool. Second, I used the Notcast code on Adam and Eve.
Ooh, this one.
Ooh.
And I am very pleased with what's coming. I'm not getting my packages, yes, plural. I only bought two things, but the code gave me more. My packages aren't coming for another week, but it looks like I'm getting the gifts, the DVDs, and something else. Something called the Knights of Fire Love Kit. Originally worth around $50, but I'm getting it free. You guys rock for this code. High fives each of you.
Yay, we got
five more dongs.
Buy more dogs. Buy more dogs. Last, I have a serious question. I've recently come out to my close family, and this includes my parents, my younger brother, my gay uncles, and my godfather. However, I'm worried about coming out to the rest of my family. Unfortunately, most of them are Republican, conservative, and very religious, Catholic and Baptist. My nuclear family, my godfather, and I are Catholic, but are lenient on the subject of gays and being gay and find nothing wrong with it. The rest of my family is a different story. Normally, I would hear people say to not tell them until absolutely necessary or not tell them at all. However, I'm extremely close to the grandparents on my mom's side, and they are who I'm most worried about finding out and treating me differently. For example, when I was younger, I had a necklace that said Mama's Buddy on it, and she had one with my name on it. Growing up, their house was like my second home, but they are already Catholic, Republican, conservative members of my family who don't believe in gay marriage, and who actually told my uncle that he wouldn't find a loving relationship. Boy, did he prove them wrong. I love them very much, but I'm also scared to death about what they would do if I came out to them, or worse, if they found out themselves. What do you guys think? Should I wait, not tell them at all, or something different? Your loyal listener, Keita Wolf.
I can understand where they're coming from, because when there's people in your life that matter that much, you kind of want them to accept how you are. But I would kind of go to your gay uncles for advice on this. I mean, they've been down this road. You've got a good resource. And see what they have to say.
You know. And it could be that, you know, oh, gay uncle, blah, blah, you know, oh, yeah, you're going to go to hell. But, oh, shit, grandkid. Oh, damn it. Damn it, damn it. You know.
Mm-hmm.
I actually like this one, you know. It could be different. It's human nature. Sometimes it takes someone close to you to be one of those people to break the mold, as it were.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes...
I mean, that's a really optimistic point of view coming from me.
Way to go, Savern.
I'm not a pessimistic... pit of darkness.
That happy chip I installed in your brain is really helping out. Um, Sometimes it may also take some time. You know, you might tell them initially and they might not be cool with it. But, you know, you see this a lot with, like, parents and children, too. If they throw you out of their lives, and then some time goes by and they realize that, oh, they really missed you and this was a really stupid reason to not be talking to you, then I've seen people come around after a period of time.
If you come out to them and they stop loving you, then you really have to question, and I hate to say this about your grandparents especially, whether they really, really care for you as much as you think they did, or whether they really cared for a perception of who they wanted you to be that you just so happened to be fulfilling at the time until you said, oh yeah, I'm gay, and now all of a sudden you don't fulfill that desire from them anymore, so you lose that ideal to them.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's a point, and yeah, it's true.
Is it really something that you need to bring up now? Do you have a partner that you want them to meet? Is there somebody in your life that is going to be in your life that you're going to have to hide from them if you continue to maintain this level of secrecy? You really have to look at what you're going to gain by coming out. I mean, it's there's also a time and a place to do this, and you got to consider now is it.
Weigh the pros and cons of coming out to them.
Yeah, it's kind of like you come out, I'm gay, and they say, okay, whatever, I don't like you anymore. And then you go home by yourself, and it's like, why did I just do that? But then if you have a partner that you're hiding, I totally agree. You're actually doing your partner a disservice by not letting those in your family know, because, you know, it's like you're hiding them, and it really debases them at that point.
So you're in a rough spot, and I don't really blame you for going either way. I can see definite.
So,
is it my turn?
Your turn, yes.
All right. Get out your pencil and paper, because it's algebra math time.
Okay. It's relationship math.
Relationship math.
Relationship math.
Subject: you damned homosexuals. Dear casters of Nottingham, I saw this week's topic, and I figure I might have something of my own to contribute, and possibly a question for you to answer as well. Names have been changed to prevent drama flares, even though if any one of the involved parties heard this, they would easily piece it together. Luckily, none of them listened to the show. You hope. Simply put, me and another guy, let's call him Wolf, have been interested in each other for about a month now, and we want to take things into a mateship. There's a few things in the way, though. First off, he's made it. I know you're probably making dun-dun-dun sounds right now, but it's a bit more complex than you might assume. Wolf was in a relationship with a mutual friend who we'll call Dragon that worked for a while, and long story short on that end, Dragon dumped him. Wolf ended up in a rebound relationship with yet another friend that we'll call Husky. The problem is that Husky and Wolf are nothing alike. Husky has no ambitions, is very open with his sexual proclivities, has no bounds about being an e-slut, even though Wolf disapproves of this. Then I realize I like Wolf. Me and Wolf have known each other for roughly a year online, and only in the last month or so have we realized that we're very compatible with each other, and that we're both interested in exploring the possibility of mateship in the future. The main issue that's in the way, though, is that Wolf, being sweet as he is, can't bring himself to dump Husky. This is a delicate situation, as we're both good friends with Husky, and if backlash occurred, it would cause a big rift between a lot of people in the groups we are active in. Second problem is distance. Wolf lives on the East Coast, I live on the West. We have a sort of solution to this years down the line, but that's not really something at the forefront of our attentions for the moment. Our current plan is seeing if I can make it to AC this year to meet up with a few of our mutual friends so that me and Wolf can get to know each other in some small way in real life before we start to take this all seriously and start laying down stones in the future with each other. Do note, this would be my first time at a furry con and my first time traveling that far from home, especially on my own. So I'm turning to you. Any of this would be very helpful and insightful, as I'm still trying to figure out how this is all going to work. Thanks for the reading this on air. Feel free to use. Thanks for reading the email. Feel free to use it on air. Zia. P.S. I wanted to ask Saverin about a Fennec-related phenomenon that I recently encountered. It seems there's a small percentage of people underneath the false belief that Fennec and Chihuahuas are related. I recently called a Chihuahua because I am indeed a Fennec. This got me researching it, and I'm just curious if not cast pet Fennec ever experienced this.
No.
I don't think I've ever heard that one.
I guess because they're small and yappy.
And from Mexico.
No, Fennecs are from Africa.
And Chihuahuas are from Mexico.
Fennecs are Vulpes Zerda, and
Chihuahuas are dogs are Canis.
Whatever, Domesticus, whatever.
Chihuahua tacos.
Well, no, seriously, they're related in that they have a common ancestor, but they are not the same thing, or very closely related at all.
It basically comes down to people are dumb.
Or they're, like, trying to be cute in an obtuse way that comes across.
Nope, they are so dumb. Really, really dumb. For real.
For this guy who's kind of interested in this other dude.
Now, he's not with somebody right now, is he?
The writer?
The writer.
No, he wants to get with Wolf.
But Wolf has a mate.
Yes.
And Wolf expresses interest in him.
Yeah. But he can't bring himself to break up with his husky guy. Like I said, relationship math.
Yeah.
Plus, he also notes that if a backlash occurs between, if, say, dumping Husky goes badly, it causes a big rift between groups, so it's like a linchpin character.
That would be, what is it, Nerd Complex? Fandom Complex or something, where everybody has to be everybody else's friend? If you piss one person off, piss whole group off.
The geek stereotypes, I think. Yeah. So here was my reaction to that email. But I don't know. This has got bad news written all over it to me.
First of all, I think that your friend Wolf has to kind of man up. And, you know, it's also, is this Husky a online relationship? Is this, like, something in real life?
Yeah, is it in real life and local to him? And he's considering breaking up with this local guy to date you, and you're all the way across the country?
Because as far as I'm concerned, if you're still in the e-dating status, you're only somewhat serious.
Yeah. This is kind of Wolf's call, I would say. Right now, you're the other man, which is not a comfortable position to be in, so I totally, you know, feel for you there. But, you know, unless he doesn't say anything about Wolf's relationship status with the other guy, does he?
Yeah, he's currently with the mutual friend Husky.
Well, I mean,
are they living together?
Yeah, like relationship status, like, are they happy? Are they miserable? You know, because if he's happily in his relationship with Husky, then,
well,
you know, you'd be the bad guy if you, like, try to break them up so that you could be with them.
He says the problem with Husky and Wolf are nothing alike. Husky has no ambitions. Very open and...
Well, of course he's going to have bad opinions about Husky. He's the one that wants to steal Wolf from Husky. He's going to say anything bad about Husky he can. Question is, as Buster said, is Wolf happy with Husky?
Yeah.
And if Wolf's showing interest in the writer, you have to question whether Wolf's really happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd say you need to find out from Wolf what his feelings on his relationship are
and
with his current boyfriend and... Now,
you need to not be the other man that's not honest with Husky, that's not honest with Wolf, and, you know, it needs to not be that way unless all parties are.
Yeah, this cool decision is kind of in Wolf's hands. I would totally push him to make a decision so that he's not dating one person while keeping someone else kind of hanging on. Yeah, like on the side, you know? So I'd push him to make a call one way or another. But it's not something that you can really say you can't really force him to break up with this other dude and start dating you, and I'm not even convinced if that's a good idea because I don't know enough about Wolf and Husky's relationship.
Yeah, and again, you got to find out more about their relationship. Are you breaking up something real life, or are you? Is this a?
Oh, sure, he knows. We just don't know. In order to kind of advise one way or the other, so those are the things I think you should be thinking about. So Bucktown, you got one more?
I have one more. Yes.
Okay. Cool.
Off-topic email. Dear Notcast, I'm a first-time writer and I'm looking for relationship advice. I'll be graduating from college in May in my dream field of study. So yay and stuff there. But my mate and I are having hard issues about what I should do after graduation.
You just keep these whole stock clips. You're like having a soundboard.
So, I want to move to Jacksonville, Florida to start my career, but my mate wants me to move to New Hampshire with him. I don't want to move that far north, being that I'm in South Georgia, and he doesn't want to move more than 20 minutes from his parent, Rose Eyes. Florida is the best place to start my career, seeing that it's based on the weather, being that I mainly work outdoors.
Ah.
We've talked about moving together, but there's never been a reasonable way to do so. I try to explain to him that I need to stay down here and get my career started before I move in with him. However, he wants to take any chance we get and get me away from my horrible home life. I've asked friends about the whole situation and they are split down the middle. Half say I'm being selfish by not putting my mate in our relationship first. The other half says I need to take care of myself first. So what do you think? Am I being selfish or am I making the right move by putting my career first? Thanks from your fan from the middle of nowhere, South Georgia, Cage Bear. That's pronounced Cage, not like Uncle Kage. It's spelled K-A-G-E, but it's pronounced Cage.
New Hampshire.
Okay. I'm impressed that you have found a career in Jacksonville, because I used to live in Jacksonville, and there ain't shit there.
Well, after living in New Hampshire, there's even less shit up there.
That's true. my opinion is that, you know, okay, yeah, we don't know whether a relationship is going to last 6 months, 6 years, or the rest of your life. And if that person leaves you, then you're up north, you're very cold, you don't have a career. Or you can get your, I'm assuming they're young, I think, yeah, they're about to graduate. You can get your shit together. It's so much easier to get your shit together while you're young and able to find a job and in a career. And I would totally put the career first. And it's not selfish to, I don't think it's selfish to take care of yourself first when it's important shit like your future career and being able to make a living and support yourself. And any mate, you know, would like totally understand that, because I've known a lot of people that have, you know, they've even taken turns. Like, one partner would go to college, get their degree, and get the good job, and then be supporting the family, while the other one then went back to school and got their job. And I actually think this is what my mate's parents did, you know. And then the other one is actually making more money than the first one, you know, because they both went and they got their degree and they got their bachelor's or they got their master's or whatever like that. And it's kind of working together. This is what a partnership is all about when you're in a relationship with somebody. So a real partner is going to want to work with you and not be like, dump everything and just come live with me. Especially if you have the chance of actually having a future. If you weren't doing anything with your life and you had no plans, that'd be one thing. But you sound like you've got something lined up. I think you need to pursue that.
Yeah, question. Why does he not want to move more than 20 minutes from his parent?
Some people are close to their parent.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, there's a thing. You've graduated from college, and you have your degree, and you have a career set up, got your place lined out where you're going to live. He wants to stay around his parent. is he really ready to be in a committed relationship? Is he really ready to...
Well,
or is he still...
We don't know what the situation between him and his parent is. It could be the parent is not well and needs the assistance. It could be there are very much parent-children relationship where they're best friends and they really do enjoy each other's company and it's a healthy relationship.
Right.
And it can be something hard to believe if you come from a bad home life where you feel stifled. But I've seen very happy parent-child relationships.
Mm-hmm. I can actually talk to this a little bit. I'm actually, my situation kind of lands in this perfectly. So I was living in Jacksonville, Florida, and I was just working a job. Didn't have any real future or anything like that. Tieran was in college in Dallas, and Tieran's a software engineer. And there are no software engineer jobs in Jacksonville. Not really. In Texas, with all of its IT infrastructure here, this is where Tieran was going to find a job as a programmer. So when he graduated college, I moved to Dallas. And luckily, I was actually able to transfer within my company because we had branches in Jacksonville. We had a branch in Irving, which is right out here by Dallas. So, you know, I did it right. I had a job lined up, so I wasn't, you know, living off of him or anything like that. But I'm also very, very close to my mom. And we do have a good relationship where, you know, we help each other out and everything like that. And also my mom doesn't drive. So she was somewhat dependent on me for, like, running her to the grocery store, running her to the bank, things like that. But... There is a time where I couldn't let the obligations I felt to my mom hold me there my entire life. You know, you do at a point have to have your own life and do what's best for you. And, you know, what was best for Tieran and I's relationship was that I would join him out here and he would pursue his career as a software engineer. And, you know, At the time, I didn't give my mother enough credit. And, you know, maybe this is the same situation. But once I wasn't in town, you know, she was able to do okay for herself. Now, you know, granted, I still give her computer tech support over the phone from time to time and stuff like that. By the way, if you give your parents computer tech support, you totally want a remote login to their computer so you can actually just grab the mouse and do what you got to do from 1,500 miles away.
Oh, yes.
But apart from that, you know, I mean, she's getting to work okay. She's getting her stuff taken care of. She's paying her bills. She's got the house covered and everything like that. And, you know, I think having me nearby made us sort of codependent for a while. So it didn't. The point is, it's like I did what I needed to do for my relationship with my partner. And it didn't destroy the lives of either myself or my mom, who I cared about very much. So you can have this kind of close relationship with your family. But you can also move away from that and still maintain a good relationship with your family. Because I still go back and I visit my mom, my sister every year. I fly home a couple times a year. And this, me being out here, has not damaged our relationship at all. But it has made Tieran and I's relationship that much stronger because we're living together and we're building a life together.
Now, New Hampshire. I don't know where in New Hampshire your mate lives. But if you're not in the southern half of the state, the one that borders Massachusetts, and especially the corner nearest to Boston, it is a very lightly populated, very sparsely industried area. There is almost no industry anymore. A lot of the mills and plants have shut down. There is very little economy, especially in the more remote areas. And I say this because I lived there for most of my teenage years. I still have family and I still have friends up there that are struggling to make ends meet. It is not a healthy economy and it is really struggling up there. And I really can't express how sparsely populated the place is. The high school I went to, which was about average size for that region of the country, we service seven towns. 7 individual towns all attended my high school. In my senior class, the amount of kids with a 90% graduation rate or a little less, we graduated with 56 kids in my graduating class of high school. Some of the kids drove in over an hour each way on the bus each day. That area of the country is so very remote and sparsely populated. I don't know what kind of career you're looking to do, but it is very cold for most of the year. The leaves fall off the trees in early October. They don't come back until May. Most of the year is very late in the year is brown and muddy, and it is outdoorsy. It's not an easy thing to do. It can be a very rough place to live. It's very beautiful, and depending on the outdoor industry that you're going into, it may be profitable, but realize that the local economy is very weak, and there's not a lot of free cash to be spending on any sort of luxury or extra items. It's just that tight. So, anywho, that's just knowing it from living there. So
there you go.
So now you got some ideas there, hopefully. So, Saverin, next week is the week before Furry Fiesta, right? So
guys, don't sound so...
No, I'm sorry. It's after 11. I'm actually really, really stoked for a Furry Fiesta. I'm kind of thinking while I'm saying it. So today is the 10th. Next Thursday is the 17th. So we will record an episode
before the con.
Before the con.
At the con.
And then we record at the con.
Yes. At the con. So if you're coming, come say hi.
And I can't say pre-reg or anything like that. Didn't you want to talk about something on the show?
Oh, God.
Art show?
They're still looking for art show panels. There's still plenty available. I don't know if there's plenty now, but they still had ones left to...
There was also a policy change relating to the art show. Weren't we asked to talk about that and get the word out?
Not for the art show.
Yeah. Yeah, the you don't have to have a Texas tax ID.
Oh, that's right.
If you only have stuff in the art show and you're not dealing or in the artist alley, then you don't have to have your own tax ID. The con has a tax ID
that covers it.
That covers the art show.
So,
and that was a policy change.
It's a big one.
It was a big one. There was some confusion about that. So if you were like not putting shit in the art show because you didn't want to have to deal with the Texas taxes and all that, don't worry about that.
Furry Fiesta will be handling it.
Exactly. So I guess there is still spots in the art show, and you need to contact our art show staff lead, Path.
Who's a really awesome guy and is very responsive. It's looking like it's shaping up to be a pretty awesome con. Our pre-reg numbers are out the door. It is, if we get... You may have to pull out those clippers this year, Bucktown, if the offer still stands.
I don't know how much I can grow it out this year.
But you can always take it down lower.
Yeah.
True. He can use his black powers to charge his afro.
What was Fur Fry's attendance numbers this year?
I'm not sure.
You give me a couple minutes, I can find out.
He has the power of the interwebs.
Yeah, and this connection on Panther's wireless here is actually really good.
So, but yeah.
If you break Fur Fright's numbers.
No. You said a thousand.
I said a thousand last year.
No, we're holding you to that.
Oh, come on.
No, we want to shave the tiger.
Okay.
You're like, okay, good to know. Yeah. Ooh, yeah, we ain't beating Fur Fright. Fright had 1,284.
Oh.
So we're thinking 900 ish, and maybe, you know, between 900 and 1,000, I would guesstimate. We had 780 last year. We had nearly that many people pre-registered this year.
Wow.
So it's looking pretty.
It's looking pretty instead of raining white stuff. It'll be raining black stuff, maybe, possibly, or snowing, or whatever you call it.
Okay.
Yeah, that was bad. Eight inches. Wait, 8 inches of snow. That's what Little Rock got this week.
Seriously? Yes. I mean, we got like four down here. That was
ice.
The ice is what really killed it.
I need to drive back through 8 inches of snow tomorrow. Yay!
Slowly, with much care. Chris, and no dying.
Yeah, I think three people have died on Arkansas roads.
You're not nearly so much fun to shave when dead.
Wow. Necrophilia much? No.
Because at that point, you know, we won't have him. He won't be able to regrow his hair for the next year. We have to dig him up. Yeah. Oh, we already shaved his head.
I didn't grow back. But
he's just a skeleton.
But that would be appropriate for Fur Fright, because they're Halloween costs. They always have, like, zombie-level memberships and stuff like that. So.
And then a skeleton pops up.
You can go up there, you'd be like Thriller. You can have the jacket on.
Okay. I can play that.
Oh, yeah, please do.
So, that's about it, guys. Because I have one more thing that's a special request.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I'm like, oh, that's so cute when this happens. So this is Nico Cottontail sending a message to my beloved Ines, who I love so much and want to spend all my days with. Will you marry me?
Oh, really?
Yes, a marriage proposal on the show. I think it's like, what, the second time?
Yep, we have had one more.
That's cool.
So
bringing furries together.
So
let us know.
Yeah.
If you say yes.
You know.
Yeah.
If listening to the show ruined your relationship.
We're sorry.
No. So there we go. Next week, Oh My God, Furry Fiesta.
Yeah, that's a good show title. Oh My God, Furry Fiesta.
Coming. We can talk about some of the stuff we're planning next week.
Yeah.
You know, if you are coming to the convention, write in, let us know.
Even if it's just, I'll be there.
I'll be there.
Yeah.
I'll be there.
You kind of have to be there.
I was going
to
say, you're putting on a show.
That's like,
do you want to talk about that while you're here?
It's a rap show. What's there much to talk about rap? Again, Black History Month rap. Yeah, sure.
It's so appropriate that Furry Fiesta lands in February.
So Bucktown will be performing on what night?
Friday night at 6. Cool. I think it's 6.
Is it 6 or later? I don't know.
I'm not sure. The schedule's in its amorphous, it's continually evolving. Changing.
It's definitely Friday.
Right now. But yeah, we got Bucktown on Friday. Unsheathed Live is later on Friday, I believe. And then Saturday, we got Matthew Ebel is performing Saturday.
Yep.
Notcast Live is on Saturday. We'll have dances. You know, we'll go into all this in more detail.
Rocky Horror?
Yep.
Next week.
We'll have
Rocky Horror, too.
Don't we have, like, a 70s disco dance going on, too?
Yeah, we're gonna set fire to the ballroom and have Disco Inferno.
No.
Okay, maybe we're not.
We're going to be using that place for years. We better not better it out.
Oh, nice.
So, yes, next week.
And on that note, good night.
And big balls.